Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
Welcome to Returning Home. I'm your host, Natalie Sapinski. I have been away for a long time, I think 3 weeks, maybe more. It's really good to be back. I was in America. I was with my mom. She was sick, and it was very sad. She died. And I'm going to spend a whole show on what it's like to lose a parent after you make Aliyah. I know that is a reason a lot of people stay behind. They don't move here because of their parents or loved ones, and I understand it. I do. It's a valid, justified in many ways. However, each time I'm thinking to myself of how sad I am and how hard it was, I get mad. I get angry because I wish my mom and my dad had been here with me. They could have been here. They were healthy when we moved here. They were young. And they just, never saw Israel as their home. And, over the years, they've come more and more. And my father died just this past July. Now my mother's gone. And it's just so, it breaks my heart. It just breaks my heart. And it's been a hard time. And I will, I'll talk about that more in a future show, because there is something to be learned for coming, even if you're older. Okay, there's a whole Nefesh B'Nefesh site dedicated to bringing your elderly parents. It's done, and it's not something to give up on, I think. And I should have pushed harder, and I should have pushed, and done it. I really should have done it. They would have been here. They could have been here. All right. We have a guest today from Mexico. Her name is Carla. She came here as a single adult with a son who preceded her. Her son was like a lone soldier, I believe. She came afterwards, divorced, and made her life here. And it's her here in Israel and her son, and that is it, without family, I'm pretty sure. And she is she's something. I'm so impressed with this woman. And the way I found her is incredible also. She's doing one of those courses, a social media course, I believe. And these courses are going on all the time, helping English speakers, revamp their skills and become more eligible and, sharper in the workplace here. And people of all ages do it. This woman is my age, 52. You don't have to be young to start over. You don't have to be young to learn something new. We can learn things all along, no matter what age we are. It's very important to learn all the time, even as you get older. So I want to bring Carla on. Carla, thank you for joining me today. I'm so excited to talk to you.
Thank you, Natalie, and thank you for having me here. And may the memory of your father and your mom will be a blessing for you always. And don't forget the good memories.
You're right. You're right. And I will. And I thank you for that. And I didn't mean to go on so long. that's funny. It happens to everybody. And I'm thinking to myself, like, oh, this is so sad. This is so awful. But, everybody loses their parents. It's a natural progression of life. It's going to happen. And this is the age. People are telling me this is the age. When we are middle age, our parents start to falter. They do. They get older, too. It's not just us getting older. They're getting older, too. And it's hard. It's hard. But let's move forward. Let's talk about you. Let's talk about your Aliyah and tell me your story. You're all the way from Mexico. You've been here, I think, 4 years, 5 years. You came here in 2020. You came in 2021. I see in my notes.
Yes.
Your son came in 2016. And yes. You told me when we spoke that, you didn't even send him to a religious school, but all of a sudden he was like, Mom, I'm moving to Israel. But correct me if I'm wrong. Take it away. This is your time to talk. So tell us your story.
Thank you. No, you are not wrong. I grew up in a Jewish community. Mexico City have not a large Jewish community, but we are very strong and very, very conservative and watch all the time the kids and be with all the families together. But I decided when my son was young that I wanted to send him to an American school in Mexico City because I want new opportunities for him to speak English as he needed and to open the doors of a different world just for him to be able to do something about him, about himself. I was divorced very young. So in my thinking, it was like, I need to arm my kid with all the tools for his life. And the years passed, and when he finished school, he entered one of the most prestigious universities in Mexico City. And after 4 months, he said, "Mom, Mexico, it's not for me. Mexico, it's not my place. It's not my home. I'm always be someone different from the rest. And I want to make Aliyah." My face went blank. Yeah. He's my only son.
Yeah.
But also, you know that you have to let them go.
Yeah.
And as every mother, yes, do your research, read about it, talk with people, and maybe this will pass. No, I didn't say it, but in my mind and in my heart, it was like that. And three or four months after, he said, "Mom, I have a date for my Aliyah." "What?"
"Oh, God.
You have what?" "Yeah, I'm going in a month." "No, you are not."
Now, look, okay.
Carla, it was heartbreaking.
You raised him. It's funny. I didn't know that you sent him to an American school.
Yeah.
So he had a pretty strong Jewish identity, I take it, because you don't come to that conclusion to move to Israel just from going to an American school. He must have had Jewish friends and some Israeli influences there. You must have known a little.
Yeah. Every sport and after school, it was with the Jewish community. So obviously he had friends, and we go to shul every Shabbat, and we do all the chagim, and we are very not religious, not Shomer Shabbat, but we do everything.
Right. Involved. And
we don't do Shomer Shabbat, but we don't do anything special like going out on movies or this or that. We spend time with the family.
Okay, so interesting. With the family. So who is it? Who was it, I guess, in Mexico besides you and your son?
My sister and my mom.
Okay, so that is a big family. And the community, was the community very Zionistic? Were his friends also, you know, looking to go to Israel? Was he talking about it with them? It doesn't come out of nowhere.
I don't think the closest friends, but yes, obviously every time that you are in the sports center or some of the parties between the community, they spoke about doing Aliyah or doing this or going to Israel. So the idea was in him.
Yeah, the young people did it. It was the young people. This happened to me that way. All of a sudden I met Israelis and they told me about Israel and it just sounded so exciting and romantic. I didn't know these people very well. And he probably also was looking for a change anyway. And it made sense. And Yofi. So he signed up. He told you, "Mom, I'm going." Your heart's breaking, but you have to be strong, right?
Yeah. In the end, you cannot say no. No to that. You can say no to a lot of things, but not to make Aliyah.
Yeah.
Okay. So you let him go.
I let him go. He came here. I visit twice. The first time that I visit, he said, "Mom, it's time for you to make Aliyah." And I said, "Oh, no, it was not in my picture. It was not in me. Not yet. It's something that at the age of 15, you say, yes, going 40 to 50, you have to prepare. It's not just, yes, I'm going. So I saw in Israel that it was very different. He was bright and welcoming, but it was not yet in me. The second time that I came, I fell in love of every part of this country.
Okay, so you had these two experiences visiting. So let's just keep that in mind. Every person who comes to Israel has a different set of eyes than when they come to stay. Even though you knew your son was pushing you, I'm sure before you even got off the plane, you knew he was going to push you. So you even had a set of eyes, but it is different. And you know that because you know you're here for a short time. You're living out of a suitcase and you're having a good time and you're spending foreign money in a foreign country and you're a foreigner.
And you go right? back to your yeah. life, and you go back. To what you used to what you know.
Right.
The part of the have to be different is not to be scared.
Okay.
Making Aliyah is scary. It's a scary step. Mm-hmm. No matter what age you are, it's a scary step. But also you have to believe in yourself.
Right.
And you have to believe that you can. And this right. is a beautiful country that will help you to do that.
Good.
That's what changed, at least in me.
Mm-hmm.
I prepare a lot. I study a little bit of Hebrew again. Because I studied Hebrew when I was a child, but I start to go to Hebrew classes. And also, Nefesh Benefesh has a cafe olé that really helps. I start to get in the Zoom and all the Zoom meetings because it wasn't, but that time that I decided that I will make Aliyah, it was the start of Corona. So everything it was on Zoom. So yeah. It was so easy to be able to prepare and to be able to attend every single meeting in Zoom about all the cities.
Right.
And to know what kind of city do you like, if you like the mountains, if you like the tradition of Jerusalem, or if you like the sea.
Nice. So isn't this interesting? I find this so interesting that you have such a positive recollection and a positive outlook on doing things on Zoom when so many others, I think, don't. And your attitude about just that, I must say, probably pushed you to come here and have a positive outlook on your Aliyah.
Yeah, I think when you look at things with a positive attitude, it makes a difference.
Yeah, even if there are downsides, and there's downsides to everything.
Yes, obviously. Right? It's not all honey and all beautiful. No, there's downsides.
Right.
I got here in the end of the Corona. Every single thing, it was little by little starting again. I knew that maybe I would have a good luck and have a good job, but maybe not. But it was okay.
Good, good. Let's get into that. Let's get into the detail, okay? You got here. Your son was already here. So what was it like for him? He was a young adult already. He was in a program. Could you depend on him? Was he helpful or was he a burden?
No, he was already 24. He just got out of the army 7 months before. and he was working as a teacher of English teacher via Zoom, via a platform. Mm-hmm. So he was settled down, and he was okay. And he told me, "Mom, I will be with you until I know that you are okay in Israel. Mm-hmm. Until I know that you can support yourself."
And what did that
even
mean?
And I was.
What did that mean? What did that mean? Did he say you can live with me? I will.
Yes.
Okay.
We will live together.
Okay, good. So you were not alone, and you come. You came with some resources. You didn't come with
me. Yeah, I came from resources, and also I make my whole brand for a year. What happened if you don't work in a year?
Okay, everyone, listen to this woman. Everyone out there, listen, because there are people who come on this show who are a little naive, I think, and they say, you know, I want to come. I don't have any money. I don't have a job, but I'll come, and people will help me. And that is just the wrong attitude. Okay, look, Israel's a great place. People here are extremely generous, hospitable. There's a lot of volunteering. However, you don't go anywhere in the world unprepared. Don't go anywhere in the world a beggar. Don't go anywhere without money, right? I mean, come on. Be responsible.
Yeah, it's logic.
Be an adult. Yeah, that's right. So save money so you can make it a year. You can make it 6 months. You can make it for a certain amount of time without... you know, not just starving. Okay. We're not teenagers here, but you have to maintain a certain, you know, standard of living for yourselves, and you're foreigners here, and you are going to be taken advantage of. People can hear your accent. They can see on your face that you don't know things. It's going to happen for years. It's going to happen a lot. Today, I'll give you an example. We are looking to build a machzan, a shed. Okay. There's a booklet here of Jewish workers that was put out by the recent guy running for elections. Okay. So we only want to hire Jews, and I only want a Jewish worker. So I'm looking through the book, and I have my son write to these different workers a sentence right in his writing, because he's Israeli. Let him deal with them, because with my Hebrew, they're going to know. They're going to know I'm foreigner, and they're going to play around with me. But he's Israeli. You know, even as a teenager, he's 18, you have to just keep, unfortunately, you got to keep your elbows out and you got to use them. This is not, you know, shul. You know, this is not a sisterhood here where everybody just gives. No, there are thieves. There are shysters. There are people looking to take advantage. They're going to give you a higher price. All kinds of people, because this is a real land. It's a real country. Okay. So Carla's right. She was prepared. She made some money. She put money aside. She came prepared to not be able to make any money for a year. Now, that's a lot of money to save. You can live richer or poorer, but you've got to be able to live. All right, Carla. Sorry for that interruption. Go ahead.
No, okay. No, and it's real. You have to be prepared. So I decided that I will not live like a luxury life, but I will live okay for a year. And so that keep you like a feeling that you can enjoy and not be worried the first minute that you land.
Right.
You can enjoy your plan. You can enjoy visiting places. So I landed, and because it was the end of Corona, I spent 10 days in a hotel in Dan Panorama, Tel Aviv. So everyone said, oh, what will be so boring? You will be crazy over there. No, give me the time to relax after packing all my home, after the paperwork, after the right. Goodbye. With my mom, after the goodbye with my sister,
right?
It gave me, yeah, gave me the 10 days to relax and to not think of anything.
Wow, I wish they still did that. That would be great.
Yeah, it was amazing.
You know, it's like a forced rest.
Yes, yes, with a beautiful view of the sea.
Nice.
So it was nice.
Really nice. Welcome to Israel, huh?
Yeah. Awesome. People said, are you crazy? It's Corona. And?
Yeah.
It was Corona everywhere.
Nothing happened. It was Corona everywhere. So
yeah.
We got
The first month I was in the apartment of my son. He used to live with a friend. So, but the leasing was ending in a month. So that month gave me the benefit to look around, to not be worried about where we live, the apartment, the type of apartment that I wanted.
Ah, I understand. So you had you moved in for him for a month and used that month to find a new place for the two of you.
Yes.
Okay.
So that also was a blessing because you have a month to just look around without paying rent. He was paying the rent with the friend, but I was visiting for a month.
Right.
So the crazy part is like all the people that make Aliyah, the paperwork, the bank, all that stuff that it's new to you. You know how to open an account in a bank, but here is different.
Right.
Because you don't understand anything.
Right.
My son helped me in every single step. He took that month away from work.
Wow.
Just to be able to be with me and to be able to do everything that I needed.
Nice.
To go to the Ulpan and ask for what they start and the dates and this and all that little things that maybe can be very complicated, but my son was a blessing for me because also he has a very good Hebrew, so he's like an Israeli and not being an Israeli, so that helps a lot.
Sure. They are I even just want to say there, I've interviewed I forget what it's called. There is a company that does this, that helps people, that does what your son does, that takes you by the hand and does all your appointments with you. I think it's called Olim Advisors.
There's company that's a little advisors. Right. There's also Yatle Olim that do that.
Right.
And there's a few for, you have to research and to know what is there for you.
Right. Okay, so you had your own advisor, your son.
Yeah.
Can't get better than that. And okay, so he helped you out. So tell me what happened. You found a new apartment. He handled the lease, I guess. What happened?
We start living together with a new boundary. So because he's an adult, so mom has to step back a little bit, but it's also part of life and learning. I start the Ulpan, and also I start volunteering in an organization that helps lone soldiers here in Haifa.
Ah, you're in Haifa. I did not even ask you where you were.
Yes.
You went to Dan Panorama for that first 10 days, and I just assumed that you moved into an apartment with your son in Tel Aviv, but you didn't.
No, I didn't, because I love the mountains, but I love the sea. So Haifa for me was a perfect fit.
Okay.
Also, it's not so expensive.
Okay.
So being away of the center gives you the benefit to have a little bit of more comfort. Because I was thinking about the amount of money that I've saved. So I needed to be smart.
Okay. We all need to be smart. Carla, you said it. You need to be smart. Okay, yeah. So when people come to Israel, and I don't know if everyone caught what Carla said, and I didn't want to keep interrupting her, but she did some very smart things. One thing, she saved her money, so she'd have enough money to live a year without working. Another thing she did was she took Hebrew classes. She prepared. She didn't come here and walk into Ulpan not knowing her Aleph, Bet, Gimel. She prepared. And when you prepare, it makes everything easier. It makes you more confident. It makes you become a more productive member of society from the get-go. And it's not just preparing language, it's also preparing geography, because when you do the classes, whether they're on Zoom or a private teacher, whatever, part of the content that you learn is about Israel. So you learn about the different cities, right? You probably learn about the different foods. You learn about the different holidays. You learn about the different street names. There are things you learn to get you familiar with Israel. And Carla did those two very important things. So kol hakavod, Carla, go on.
So I start volunteering. And that way also gave me the benefit to start knowing people, Israelis.
Uh-huh.
To network.
Right.
To ask questions. And start making my life here in Haifa a real life.
Wait a second. What did you say that allowed you to do that? You're the language?
My volunteering.
The volunteering. Very smart. Very good. I agree. Not only can you use volunteering as a way to meet people, to maybe find a career, by the way, but it's a way to meet people anyway. And so I always tell people when they're looking for a mate, if they're single, I always say, go volunteer. You're going to find people with similar interests as you. And you're going to make friends that way.
Yes.
So you did. Okay, good for you. Good.
So that also gave me like not be with my son, like a attached to him.
Right.
To do everything. So because I started to have friends. And I started to go out and to make a life here, a real life. I start sending my CV a month before finishing the Ulpan.
Okay. But tell me, in the Ulpan, did they give you help with that at all?
No. No, but also in my volunteering, I start also like volunteering in a different type of things. And I help a little bit with Kipolim. So because they didn't have all the things or the Facebook page or the translation in Spanish. So I start like doing the translation to English to Spanish.
So when you say Kipolim, that's an organization. That helps Olim, okay, from all over the world. So interesting. You started volunteering for them. Your background is what? You have a background in public relations, correct? Advertising?
Advertising, public relations. I study communication.
Okay.
So I think that I'm so used to do the networking and to try to volunteer and give something because people, if you give, the way you give, you will receive.
Yeah.
I receive help.
Right.
So the director of Kipolim checked my CV and adjusted to the needs of Israel.
Right.
Because it's very different, a CV from Mexico than a CV from here.
So all of you listening, just to be clear, a CV, curriculum vitae, is Latin. That's what we call a resume in Israel.
Okay.
A CV. Yeah. So that's okay. Everyone listening should just know that CV, capital C, capital V, is short for curriculum vitae, which is Latin, but it means resume. So here we all say CV, Kol Chaim in Hebrew. And that's what Carla's talking about. She was volunteering. First for Lone Soldiers, then she switched over or maybe did two different things and helped a group called Keep Olim, which means like Keep Olim in Israel, which is a volunteer group of people actually helping Olim, like me, all right, whatever problems we have. And she was, like you heard her, doing the translations into Spanish on their website. Now, that group of people helped her develop and I guess improve her resume, and then she was able to send it out. So good, Carla. It's a great story. Go on.
So I started a month before finishing, and in my mind it was like, you will get a job, a decent one to live, don't expect too much, because when you are in PR and you are in communication and that kind of stuff, obviously it's very different from Mexico to here.
Right.
So you cannot expect to have the same type of job right away. So I was okay with that.
Yeah.
And every job, it's okay and it's important and give this country the possibility to have a good economy. So right. Don't be shy and don't be upset if you don't have the job of your dreams right away.
Right. And also, Carla, and I'm just going to jump in here, and you can agree with me or you could comment, but I find that in Israel, more than any other place, things happen here sometimes very quickly, and you can move up and jump up. Yeah, a lot faster than you would anywhere else.
Yes.
For a number of reasons. Okay, just a number of reasons. For war, because of war. All of a sudden, there's an opening. Everyone's going to Milwaukee. They need somebody. That's one reason. All kinds of things happen. People go on maternity leave. People get married. People go to the army. People switch jobs. All kinds of things happen. And people are always like shifting around and jumping around and learning skills very quickly. It's an amazing, very vibrant place, and those things do happen. So go ahead.
So I entered a job that it was not my job dream, but I was in a call center, and I say, okay, I will make a living, and it's okay. I didn't stop sending my CVs. I didn't stop that because I have a job. It was not my dream job.
Right.
So I watch every single YouTube, whatever that I needed to improve myself. Yeah.
That's right.
You have time, so use it properly.
Yeah.
2 months later, a month and a half later, I saw an advertising in Facebook, in a Facebook group for English speakers in Haifa, of a job in the Technion, in the Faculty of Mathematics, doing the seminar, the congress, and part of the administration for people that come to visit for short terms.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, this is me. I love to do that. I know how to do that.
Great.
And the job was mainly in English. Also, I needed to have a little bit of Hebrew. So by then, I said, okay, I can. And yeah. I sent my CV. I went for the first meeting. It was okay. I passed that. I went for the test. And the test was on a Friday morning. And in the Friday afternoon of the 12th, I volunteered in the for the Lone Soldiers. And I ring to the CEO, the Lone Soldiers. I said, I will be a little bit late because I'm doing these exams for a job, but my son will be there for the half an hour that I will not be there.
Okay.
By the moment that I entered the doors of the organization, every single one of them said, where?
How'd it go?
Right. How'd it go? Everything is okay? Can you show me the job? Can you tell me who to whom? Can you tell me every little single dirt about the job? And said, yes, I can. This is the job. Okay. I know someone that not someone. They is in the faculty that is a professor.
Nice. So they all try to help you. Okay.
Yes, they all pitch in. They all, one called the friend, the other one called the manager of HR, and the other one called everybody called whatever they can think about it.
That's amazing. That's a family. That's support. Family. Yeah.
And I went and for another interview with the dean and a group of professors, and half an hour later of the meeting, they call me, you got the job. We are so happy to be with you in this new adventure, and let's go. So
amazing.
Tomorrow will be 2 years of that.
Amazing. That is so beautiful. I hope everyone listening to this story, because this is not so unusual. It's a great story. Don't get me wrong. But Carla's, you know, adventure here, or I guess her experience here, is a reflection of the way she behaves. And it's a reflection of her attitude. And she's a giver. She's a giver. And, you know, she came to Israel looking to enjoy life, right? And the first thing she does is volunteer. So it's true. When you give, you receive. She said it, and it's true. And look at her now. Amazing position with the University of Haifa, in charge of all the visiting dignitaries. Totally perfect job for her. You're a people's person, you know? It comes across even here. Really beautiful story. And, you know, English speakers come from many, many countries and not just American. That I really love. You know, you're in South America. Your first language is Spanish. And here you are in charge in an English speaking job. I love it. I love it. Israel is so international. I've always loved that about this place. Everybody has an accent, you know, and we all, you know, get together anyway and get along. And you're sometimes friends with people from a different country. You're not necessarily going to be friends with the person from Mexico. Just like I'm not necessarily going to be friends from the American. Because we're all Jews.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
We have a lot in common, no matter where you were born.
Right. Right. Oh, that's great. So you've been there 2 years. That is amazing. Kol hakavod.
Yeah.
That's just great.
By the moment that I said to my son, I have this, I have the Technion, I have this.
That is great.
It is mine. My son said, okay, I'm moving to the Golan.
So you have a typical son.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, he doesn't want his mommy around.
Yeah, obviously. Right. And they said, okay, you're moving to the Golan, but it's not so far because it's an hour and a half from me, so it's okay. Right. It's not in another country, so it's okay.
Yeah, you're both up north.
Yes. So
very nice, very nice.
He needed to pursue his dream.
And you need to pursue yours.
And I needed to pursue mine, because my aliyah is not attached to his aliyah.
That's right. That's a very healthy attitude. You know, you were with him at the beginning, but then he let you go, and you didn't need him. And, you know, you have to stand on your own 2 feet here. And the sooner the better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you need help at the beginning, don't be afraid and don't be embarrassed and don't be too proud to take that help, because you're new here and you still have your foreign legs. You know what I mean? And why waste all that energy on things? It's hard enough to be new. You know, it's hard enough. So yeah, take the help from your kids. Take the help from your neighbors. Take the help when it's offered. Because I'll tell you something, the stronger you are, the less help you're going to get. I used to tell my mom this in the airport. She would stand there and they would offer her a wheelchair and she'd say, no, no. And I was like, Mom, take the chair and pretend you're weak. Because if you pretend you're so strong, no one is going to help you.
Yeah. And don't be shy.
Yeah. Don't be shy. And don't be so proud. It's okay.
Mm-hmm. It's okay. Everybody's new in some point here.
That's right. But once you get it together, you know, show your stuff and stand up and be proud, you know? Look, it only took you 2 years. Oh, no, sorry, 3 years. I mean, pretty fast.
It's almost 3 years. It's almost 3 years. That's
pretty good. Pretty good. There are people who give up in less time than 3 years. And that's another thing. When you come here, you can't be like 1 foot in, 1 foot out. You have to do it all. And Carla, that kind of surprised me, because you didn't sound so convinced at the beginning, but you seem to have come around somehow. What is there something that happened to you that made you, you know, decide I'm doing this and it's going to work, you know, come hell or high water?
or was it just luck that things have seemed to work out for you?
Both of them, I think. Maybe mm-hmm. because also being alone in Mexico. Okay, my mom is not in Mexico City, and also my sister. So I was alone in Mexico City for Corona. So being alone with myself, thinking about every single step and every single thing that I needed to do to stand up and say, yes, I can, I think prepared me for every single scenario. And in my mind, it was, what's the worst that can happen? Okay, if that's the worst that can happen, but for the other side, you will be with your son. Mm-hmm. What you want in life? Because it also gave me the opportunity to reinvent myself.
Right.
To be proud of myself and say, yes, I can do things. I'm 52, yes, but I can do a lot of things that I didn't imagine.
Yeah. Well, I think having your son here was a big magnet, you know? And I don't know if you would have succeeded as much if you had gone to maybe France, Italy, some other place alone, just for no reason. You had a reason to come here. Your son's here. Plus, it's Israel. So two good things. And it kind of drove you. It probably drove you and motivated you on some level, you know?
Yeah. And also, I don't know what happened with us. But the moment that you land, you have a connection.
Yeah, people
you
say
have
that.
A connection to the land.
Oh, it's amazing to hear that, because, like, I know that because when I land, and you can clap your hands because that's what we do when we land in Israel. You're like, oh, you can breathe.
Yes. Yes. And, I don't know how to explain to other people because
right.
Because people said to what a connection, you just landed.
Right.
And if you talk to friends in your country, they will say, yeah, it's magic, it's this, but a connection? Yes. I don't know how to explain it, but the moment that you land, you feel the connection. You feel the empowerment. You feel the hope.
Yeah.
You just have to try and be positive.
Yeah.
And maybe one time you will fail, but the next time you will not.
Yeah. Well, we don't want anyone to fail. And sometimes when people fail, that's it for them. They don't try again. You have to come here being prepared in your mind that, you know, it will be hard and you will fail. But that's life. You fail in all kinds of things in life, too. Doesn't mean you stop.
No.
Doesn't mean you give up. You pick yourself up and try something else. That's all.
No, obviously, the amount of resume that I send, the amount of rejections, it was a lot.
Yeah.
It was not that in the first time I got a job in a call center and then in the first resume I had a job in the term. No. Mm-hmm. For 1 year, I sent a lot of resumes to a lot of places. But I keep going and that's with right. faith. And also, I knew that I was relaxed because I planned myself for a year.
Right. You had a plan. And, you know, also, I bet some of those resumes, you didn't get answers at all.
No, yeah, obviously. So, you send it, you ask.
But you're a mature, you know, PR, advertising, that's kind of a tough business. So you're pretty sharp anyway. You're not some naive little person who's had one job her entire life and never took no. Advertising, you get no. You get no all the time. You yes. are sharp. You're a businesswoman. You're sophisticated. You get it. You know how to push yourself. You know when to be quiet. You know when to push, when not to push. You're good. You know, they saw you, obviously, a woman who knows what she's doing, and they took you, and you're probably making them very happy. There's a lot of great opportunities here, and it's a good thing you actually, like, spent that time reading the different Facebook ads, and there are stuff all the time. It's true. There are jobs all the time here. Tons of jobs all the time. And sometimes you do hop around a little, like you did the call center, you know? There's no shame in that. That's like, you know, paying your dues, right?
Yeah.
And also, you can come away with a friend, or at least, or a great story.
Yeah, no, I came with a boyfriend from there.
Okay, there you go. That's right. There's always something.
There's always something.
That's right. You always get something.
And you will meet people that you will never think of meeting. So
that's right. So, it's true. You're right.
Give you that opportunity.
Yeah, it's a new life, really. It's just a new life. And that's, you know, I think maybe one of the problems with so many Americans don't make Aliyah because they enjoy their life the way it is now. And they're so settled and they're so comfortable. And it just burns me up because they're not supposed to be, you know, like America is not Israel. That's not the home for the Jews. It's not. Yes, it's become comfortable, but come on. It's false. You know, we were comfortable in Mitzrayim too.
Yeah.
It's very upsetting. It's a beautiful life here. It's so different. It's just a different level, you know? It's just different. And so alive, and it's so new and fresh, and it's so exciting. And when someone your age comes and you really get it. You really get it. And to all those people looking to come, you know, you don't need to come and be 25. You can come and be 55. You can come if you're 75. You know, Israel is built up enough to be able to handle you at any age. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Well, look, I want to say thank you, Carla. I've taken enough of your time. Any of you have questions for Carla, for life in Haifa, for life as a Spanish speaker coming from Mexico, please contact me at natalie@israelnewstalkradio.com. And I will make sure to get that message to Carla and have her answer you because she is an expert. And, you know, it's been wonderful talking to you. Carla, thank you so much for sharing your story. You're really an inspiration.
Thank you, Natalie.
So, bye-bye.
Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.